a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
So you heard this week, Space Talk. Sorry, guys, everyone, Space
Why,
Talk.
Why are you sorry? Why are you sorry? We love Space Talk.
I know, but I give you a hard time about Space Talk.
I love Space Talk.
Yeah. I know you love it.
So are we going to allow you to talk about space? It's a beautiful community of people, so okay. This is something you can actually treasure and experience for the first time.
All right, so we know Russia tried to get to the moon this week, just gone, this last week.
And they were busy doing other things.
Well, it didn't work out.
Mm.
Resist the urge to roll gear here because it's probably still pretty...
Well, obviously.
We don't mention that. Anyway, so...
That's why we just talk over it normally. Just keep on.
But the guys that did nail it were India.
Yes!
They finally landed a mission to the moon, making history, become the first to land in the lunar South Pole region. Why is that a good thing?
Because no one's ever been there before, and it's very rough terrain to land.
Oh, yeah. Really? Like Armageddon landing on the asteroid type rough terrain?
Yes, it's not like smooth surface like where Apollo landed. Apollo's.
Okay, got you.
Also, I think that they want to get there because there's a lot of water or stuff under. They think there might be water.
Yes, they think there might be, and then that could be cool.
And stuff. Yeah. So apparently they had a failed attempt in 2019, but they did manage to reach the lunar surface on Wednesday. Announced it on Twitter, the Indian Space Research Organisation said the CH-3 rover ramped down from the lander and India took a walk on the moon.
It was amazing, the footage. They were all like screaming so excited. Yeah. Even people in the street were all like, this is so awesome for India. Yes. Yeah. Like, it was great.
So hang on. So I was watching this but also busy over the weekend a little bit. Like, a person didn't walk on the moon, did they?
No.
So the rover, robot thing. Cool. Need that cleared up. Yeah. Are they intending on having someone to... Because nobody's been back to the moon since... I should have checked the dates. Obviously, first time 1969, it was in the early 70s was the last time somebody walked on the moon.
Or the 80s, No, at this stage, they're just kind of like, hey, why would we send someone up there when we can just... let the robots do their thing.
But we might need one of them to walk on the moon to get rid of the conspiracy theories that nobody's ever
But they'll never
on the
they
moon.
Won't believe it anyway. People who don't believe it aren't going to believe that someone else has gone.
They're going to try and use the moon as a launching port to get to Mars one day. That's kind of the vibe. But
the old stopover place.
The old stopover. The old Dubai.
It's all it's all worth noting. But the most impressive thing about it is, you know, NASA, when they did sort of the Apollo missions through the 60s and 70s, forked out over $250 billion to do all that. Yeah. And keeping in mind that was back in the 60s and 70s, right?
So much.
A lot of money, right? India's Space Agency managed to achieve the incredible feat on a fraction of that. It cost just 6.15 billion rupees, which works out to around $75 million.
Okay.
Which is like nothing.
Really?
75
mil?
No. We've spent more on that to... We're going to have to pay more in fines for canning the Commonwealth Games. Way more in fines.
Four, five times that. Sure, it's not 75 billion. That's not a typo.
It's $75 million, right? So Christopher Nolan's epic 2014 sci-fi Interstellar, which has Matthew McConaughey in it.
Yeah, have you seen it?
No.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my
really?
God. Have you seen it,
Mr. Movie Guy.
I loved Interstellar so much. Okay. So I wish I could watch it for the first time again.
Oh, it's very brain hurty. You've got to really concentrate. I reckon it would be better watching it the second time because you kind of
I'll watch it.
Yeah, it's intense. But
Interstellar, dude, it's very very good.
You've got to Google it at the
end
to be like, what the hell?
You were about to make a point about it though.
That cost $165 million to make a movie about space, or for less than half the price, you can go to space. Take your country there.
That is sad. No, but that's Hollywood for you. And India's like, come on, guys, we can do it for way less.
Like, you don't have to add all this, you know, bells and whistles. You just get up there, guys.
You just get all up right. there.
Good on you, India.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast. That's it for the Cats this year. With their season in the rear view, it's time for Cameron Ling's 2023 Catrospective.
Catrospective.
Yeah.
That's right. You and your clever puns.
How many of those, like, at... So that one rose to the top, but how many did you have?
One for every day of the week.
Yes, he did. You know he'd have that sort of thing sorted. Yeah, what we thought we might do is just look back over the course of the season, what happened to the Cats, give you maybe also a little glimpse into the future, because I thought we saw that on Saturday night. The Cats finished 12th on the ladder. Mm. That is as low as they've finished in forever. Certainly in any of my time. I think the early pick we got in the 2006 draft, because we finished, had an awful season and finished 10th, was the Joel Selwood pick. Mm. So the fact they finished 12th is a bit of a shock, but there are reasons for that.
Right.
The injuries throughout the year were the big issue. Starting the season 0-3, losses to Collingwood, Carlton and the Gold Coast Suns set them behind the eight ball a little bit. And then almost straight away, injuries to Tom Stewart, Sam De Koning, Jack Henry. The entire back line was wiped out. Midfield wasn't firing. Plus, doesn't matter what anyone says, because we've got wonderful leaders, new captain, everything like that. There was a feeling of the absence of Joel Selwood.
Yeah. I was going to say, was that one of the contributing factors?
Yeah, it's just it's his influence, not so much his play by the end, because he was still a very good player, but he wasn't peak Joel Selwood, but just his overall leadership and the culture that he set in there.
Yeah.
Others are stepping up into that area and doing a really good job of it, but he was just such a huge presence for such a long time.
Mm.
So that set them back a little bit. Couple of games then they got rolling, and probably by about round 17, round 18, they knocked the Kangaroos off by 62 points in round 17, and Essendon, sorry to bring that up, you two, mm-hmm. you remember that game well, by 77 points down here, GMHBA Stadium, round 18. At that point in time, I reckon I, along with a lot of other people, thought, here we go. The Cats are getting on a roll here.
Yeah.
This is premiership bound again, back to back. They're going to fire up. From that point onwards, it was just all downhill. Unbelievably, they dropped games at home. GMHBA Stadium, the fortress, never going to be beaten in that place. Three games to the Giants, Fremantle, and then in the last round to the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah.
It never happens. So that was a... that was a bad finish to the year. Throw in the awful game against St Kilda at Marvel Stadium, and it was a pretty disappointing finish to a year that at round 18 looked like it was going to ramp up to be a real genuine premiership defence.
Mm, so not the most glorious year. It's very unusual for a premier to not make the eight the following year, isn't it?
No, it happens probably a little bit more than you think, but no, it is still a big fall. I remember after Hawthorn won it in 2008, they didn't make it in 2009. After the Bulldogs won it in 2016, they didn't make it. So it happens. It's just, I think, with a team like Geelong still had, and as I said, at round 18, it looked like all good, all fine. The funny thing was, at round 18, the AFL chatter and the AFL media, which I'm a part of, were starting to talk about how disappointing the Sydney Swans were and how far they had fallen post being in a grand final. They're going to miss the eight by a long way. Super disappointing. Geelong, yeah, they're genuine premiership contenders. Swans are in the eight and playing finals. Mm. Cats have finished 12th. So it did fall off the cliff a little bit towards the end of the year. We saw some young players, which is probably what I want to get to more tomorrow.
Sure.
Because what I'd like to do tomorrow, if it's okay, is look at the 2024 team that's going to win the premiership.
Okay.
Oh, back in the early.
But no, that's what coaches do. Mm-hmm. They put up on the whiteboard and they go, here's our next premiership team. Now, that premiership team might have one or two little gaps in it because they're players you're still to bring to the club, or you don't know who's going to fill those. But most times a coach will have 80% up on a board of what his next premiership team looks like.
Mm.
I'll have the Cats one for you for 2024 tomorrow.
Excellent.
Tommy.
I can imagine the Bombers are still waiting to get the whiteboard from Officeworks. Someone still hasn't popped down to get the whiteboard yet.
We ordered it, click and collect, but no one's gone to pick
it up.
Brilliant. That is Cameron Ling's 2023 Catrospective. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
I would love to get your thoughts on this one. Lionel Messi, obviously huge soccer star.
Soccer megastar.
Soccer megastar. Like one of the... he is considered the best of the best of the best.
Yeah, and just coming off a World Cup win and now the big move to Miami.
Yeah. So Inter Miami Leagues Cup is happening at the moment. And
So the team is called Inter Miami.
Yeah, the Inter Miami, they were playing, thank you.
They're playing in the League's Cup.
Thank you. I've no idea.
That's fine, mate. That's okay.
Why would they call it Inter Miami? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's like Inter Milan.
Yeah, but why? Just call them Milan. Anyway, so they were going up against Nashville, right? They played a little soccer game. Great.
Cute.
And then Lionel Messi's wife, Antonella, she was there, right? So at the end of the game, she ran onto the grass.
Pitch.
Well, is it a pitch?
Yes,
pitch. Yeah. She ran up there to give him a hug and a kiss.
Oh, like, nice. Sweet.
Cute, right? But she actually went to hug and kiss, and just before the lips made contact, she realised it was his teammate.
Oh, no.
Jordi Alba.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and he was like, oh, and then it was kind of this awkward, like, and then you see the vision. He walks off and she just puts her hands down, like, right.
Well, that was close.
Not the right person I was looking for.
Or was
How
it?
How does she?
No.
Yeah.
Surely moment.
She knows Lionel's number. Well, there's right. a big number in his name on the back of the
no,
jersey.
No, but he looks like. He
does
looks,
he?
Yeah. And they're wearing like the.
It's the black and pink, is it?
Black pink, right? Yeah. It's all pink, so I'm assuming it might be the away stuff. Anyway, so a bit of a mix-up, bit of a snafu.
Wow.
I've been in this situation before.
Yeah, right.
Now, this was years ago. I think I was still maybe just out of high school, so it would have been about 19 or something. And we all used to hang out at our mate's house and, you know, it was like, you know, it was a bit of a dark room kind of thing. Anyway, one of our mates... Benny, he was sitting down on a chair and I was going somewhere with the girls and I thought that Benny was my partner and so I went up and like he was wearing a hat so I did the whole launch under kind of like, all right, then he was sitting on a chair, bit of a dark room, you know, and I was kind of like, all right, then see ya. And then he was just looking at me like a deer in the headlights like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh no. And then the whole group, everyone laughed. It was like, what are you doing, Loggy? What's happening there? And I was just like, no. It's like, I thought he was. Anyway, they've never let me forget it.
I've had a similar situation. My beautiful wife, whose birthday it is today. Happy birthday,
Carly.
Happy birthday,
Carly.
She's got a sister who's like a year or I think 11 months older than her.
Yeah.
So they're very similar in age, very similar to look at. The only way, particularly from behind, to tell them apart is one has curlier hair than the other
okay.
and a slightly different tinge of red hair.
Yeah,
that's the only difference. So when you run into them, when you're in the kitchen and you walk past and you go to whack one of them on the bum and you're assuming that it's your wife.
No, Tom.
Sometimes it's not your wife.
I asked this question of Logie. Contact made?
Yes.
Oh, Tommy. No.
Contact.
Was it a cutesy little, or was it like a bam?
And then apologies were had all round.
Oh, you've been asked back.
Did you apologise like the next hour?
I'm so sorry. This is like 7 years ago and I'm still apologising. It's still, really,
I feel
really
awkward for you.
It happens. So I feel the pain. I feel the pain. I then, after obviously I went in for the smooch once I realised it was her, just see what happens. Jokes.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Jono joining us. The season is over, but we still have one round to do this for...
Best.
Best and fairest?
Best and fairest. Best.
The best and fairest, not the best and fairest, because of course, Jono, you are the curator,
the proprietor,
the maker, PGYLTD,
procreator of the Xena Protective Sports Vest.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for everything this year too, Tommy.
Xena with a Z.
You've explained it extremely well throughout the entire year.
Not once.
That's been so positive.
I know what it looks like in my head.
Yeah. AFLW season kicking off this weekend. A lot of the girls will be
wearing
the vest.
Yes, we do have a lot of the girls wearing it, which is awesome. And that's what it's about. Get out there, support yourself, and stay out in the game. Stay out in the park so you can continue to play.
Yeah, cool.
So should be cool.
You give the votes each week for the best and fairest.
Yes.
Can I just propose a name? I know there's been a lot of Tom Stewart and a lot of Jeremy Cameron throughout the year.
Yes.
Surely Tom Atkins is going to make a little run.
No,
He was probably fourth best,
John.
19 disposals and a goal.
Okay. But I just love the fact he has a crack.
Numbers.
You're just grumpy because Tom Liberatore had him pinned on the ground, and in a second,
I love Tom Atkins.
Tom Atkins flipped Libber and put him down and just said,
"That's always one of my favourite players.
Stay there."
One of my favourite players in the competition.
You didn't
Tom
like
Atkins.
Someone picking on your Libber.
No,
eh?
That's not true at all. At all. So I gave one to Brandon Parfitt.
Okay, fair enough.
And then I gave two to Tommy Stewart, who once again, this guy, seriously, any danger, and I know he doesn't want this, but the opposition just work out how to pick this guy up. He just marks everything. They can't do it.
Yeah. Mm.
So good. Coach so well. And three votes goes to Isaac Smith. He's retiring.
Goodbye,
he was
Isaac.
Best on.
Yeah.
Geez, he plays the game in the right way, doesn't he?
Like, big smile.
I know he had to work hard to get drafted and get on a list and all those sort of things. He's probably, 21 years of age? But what he's done and the way he plays the game, he's smiling all the time.
Just
brought it up because Jono got another mention on the Channel 7 coverage. He's like, I haven't seen a bloke smile like this since Brad Johnson was playing the game.
Accurate, though.
Teeth keep together.
Very accurate. So the spirit vest.
Yes.
Goes to Isaac Smith, of course. Because he's just happy.
Yeah,
he's just happy. Yes. Although we must mention, if Ollie Henry had have taken that mark.
Oh, it would have been mark of the century.
Yeah, it was a hanger.
Ridiculous. Mm. The hang time post was so good. I wish he had have got that. Clanger of the week goes to our old mate Joey Danaher.
Straight in front,
10 metres out.
That's unlike him.
It is.
Unlike him to shank it.
Wow. I just
stop it
from the school of
Essendon support.
Brisbane's conversions are a real issue. So we'll see what happens through the final series. He needs to get that right. So the winner of the Best and Fairest in
2020.
Do you want to say it today, or do you want to? Yeah, all right.
No,
okay,
we won't say it today.
Oh, really? I thought we were saying it today.
Okay, we can say it. We can say it today.
It's up to you, Jono.
And then we can get the person in to present the medal.
Because we've got to try and get him in.
It's the medal that says K-Rock without an R.
Yeah. Accidentally printed that one last year. Should we give him that one? I'm assuming you've organised a new medal by now, Jono.
I just let the guys know to reprint. Do it the same as last year.
Maybe we can ask this person which medal they prefer. The K-Rock one or the
one without the R.
So the winner is...
Are we going now?
Right, here we go.
So the winner on 28 votes and dominated is Tommy Stewart.
Great season from Tommy Stewart. Jeremy Cameron was
second. On 17 votes.
Nearly
Tommy Hawkins was third on 12.
Now, of course, Jeremy Cameron
about Tommy
won
Stewart.
Last year.
So, Tommy, I know word will get back to you and... Cameron Ling might send you a message.
We'll have you in. We'll get you the passion fruit.
Yeah, let's get you in, Tommy.
Passion fruit sponge from Freshwater Creek, which we gave to Jeremy Cameron last year. I think that's a tradition now.
Yes.
And the medal that is incorrectly inscribed. I think that's a beautiful part of the whole thing. It's worth playing a full season for, isn't it?
It's worth coming in and accepting.
That was only the artwork, wasn't it? I think I got it done properly.
I don't know.
I can't remember. We'll get it right.
It's a worry, that's for sure. The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast. I was talking to someone on the weekend about stuff that you miss out on because of family stuff.
Oh, like when family are like, hey, we know that, you know, New Year's Eve is probably a big day, but I want to have my birthday on that date. So stuff like that.
People get married on grand final day.
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about because any family stuff, I just skip it to do what I want.
Well, you're quite a loose cannon in that regard.
Yeah. I'm
Cameron Ling. I'm working.
Yeah. Dodsy, it's your mum's 60th birthday. Nah, I've got footy in 3 days' time.
Oh.
I can't make it.
We'll talk about. So I went to a concert last night in Melbourne at the Forum.
Well done you for coming to work today, by the way.
Dispute. Yes, I got to sleep at 1 o'clock this morning.
I appreciate it. I was up again
at four. So good. But anyway, so went to that and put aside the fact that I had to work today. It's also Kalia's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Kalia.
Happy birthday, babe. So I spoke to a couple of people and they were like, "What? So are you going to be able to go to this concert or not? Because it's technically like Kalia's birthday, like it's the night before, you know, aren't you going to be doing something family?" And I was like, "No, we've discussed it and sort of the family stuff will be today on the Monday. But then the person I was talking to was saying that they had the option to go and see Rage Against the Machine play in concert, which is like you wouldn't really get these days.
I've seen them live and they were unreal.
Tom
Morello. Once in a lifetime opportunity.
Zach De La Rocket, they put on a show, right? So, and so particularly, now knowing what you know in terms of the band being together or not, whatever, and opportunities you'd get to see them, you would probably regret not seeing them. Mm. This guy went to his mum's 60th instead of going and seeing Rage Against the Machine.
That's nice.
And that's sweet.
Loves his mum.
Yeah.
And he doesn't regret it. The words that come out of his mouth. But everything else screams, oh, God, I regret it so much.
Well, look, famously, it was my lovely sister's 40th birthday last December.
Mm.
And Billy Joel was coming to Melbourne for one night only. And
what did you do? Which one did you go to?
I went to the 40th. And I was very happy about it.
It's all about soul. It's all about faith and a deeper devotion.
And I also feel I also feel like she's always a woman to me. I'll never get to see live.
Why would you do that?
I wanted to. It's my sister's 40th. That was a big deal.
So well, but it's Billy Joel.
You were there for her 39th. And 41st.
No, she hasn't turned 41 yet because it was last December.
So you will be there for the 41st. Yeah. So
yeah, what's the point of going to the 40th?
No, I chose family and I'm happy with that decision. But it is, I think it's okay to say that there's a little bit of sadness also.
All right, jump on the phone. Tell us, what did you miss out on because you chose family or you chose sort of the friendship option or whatever it was that meant that you didn't particularly go see a band or a grand final or something?
Harley from Lara is with us this morning. Harley, good morning.
Morning, guys. I missed out on the 2007 grand final because I go to the footy every week with my son.
Yeah.
I was offered one ticket.
Oh.
And I knocked it back so I could hang out with my boy.
Oh, you are better than all of us. None of us would have done the same.
You are a good person.
You're the only one without kids here. You can't none of us would have done.
If Romney got off the ticket.
you would have dropped him at the gate, wouldn't you?
I would have.
All right, that's a good one, Harley. That's a good one. What about Julie in Cario? Morning, Julie. What's your situation?
I actually spent New Year's by myself because my dog, she kept escaping when she hears thunderstorms or fireworks.
Aww.
So I was going to go to a mate's house, but the dog was on heat. So I spent New Year's Eve with the dog.
Right.
Oh, see, that's Loggy's idea of a great New Year's.
That is beautiful. Yeah.
And anyone that knows a dog on heat, you don't take them out of the property because other dogs will break a window to get to your dog.
Yes. So bit of New Year's Eve pashing. Yeah.
Exactly. Lockie in Cario, what big event did you miss out on because you were going to another event? No.
Yeah, g'day, guys. So mine's a bit the other way around. I decided not to go to my sister's wedding to attend the AFL Grand Final in 2019.
Lockie!
Oh, Lockie! Well done!
No!
A Tiger supporter, I assume?
Yeah, definitely, yep.
And how did that go down?
The family wasn't too impressed, but, had to go watch the Tigers. So.
Your family wasn't too impressed, but deep down were most of them actually jealous and happy for
you? Yeah, I reckon, because there's a few Tiger supporters in the family, so they were probably a bit jealous.
Yeah, right.
See, well played, Lockie.
What was she thinking, booking it on grand final day?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah,
you probably don't talk to each other now, so you'll never know.
You'd never be able to ask.
Tom, Lingy and Lockie. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955, weekday mornings from 6.